In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
He is risen. Beloved brethren of the risen Lord, is not the following a curiosity? Fear not, declares the angel of that first Easter morn. It's time to stop, declares he, or so it would seem. So why then do the women not stop? For suddenly, records the evangelist, there was a great earthquake, and an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it, made a chair out of it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him now, the guards shook and became like dead men. But to the women, as regards the guards, one thing, as regards the women, another. To the women now, the angel said, fear not. Fear not, declares he. Instead, go. And quickly, declares he, and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead. He is going ahead of you to Galilee. There, then, you will see him. So exceedingly joyful were they when they left that morning to proclaim the good news to the rest. But they were also this, observes St. Matthew. They were also, at the same time, still fearful. Fearful. Why would they then have been both joyful and fearful? To fear or not to fear? Is this at least one of the questions? After all, how realistic is it really for any of us to imagine that life, fragile and vulnerable as it is, that life now could ever be lived in the absence of fear? After all, even now, have you noticed? It's a veritable war zone out there, outside these walls. Indeed, Black Hawk Down it is, in more ways than one. For ultimately, for you and I, that is, ground zero of the cosmic conflict it is, outside these walls. And why? Because the victor has said that it is time for his own to go. Go, declares the risen Christ. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Yes, that's right. This is why. He is why. For both wonderful and frightful is his sending, for his is a call to arms, and into the world does he send, into the very stronghold of Satan. Therefore, behold, I am sending you like sheep into the midst of wolves, declares the same Jesus. Indeed, you will be hated by all, even by those closest to you, declares he. And why? Because of my name. Do not think then that I have come to bring peace upon the earth. I have come to bring not peace, but a sword, declares he. For to follow at all is to follow, is to walk in the footsteps of, is to become one with the person and the fate of him who was and who is and whoever shall be the crucified. For he who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me, declares he. So, both genuinely wonderful and genuinely frightful it is. So I don't know, but I think we really need to say, really need to know, in fact, if we are about to go out there, that for us, at least, it's actually okay. Indeed, it's even a little more than just a little necessary in the face of it all to know a little, at least a little, if not more than just a little, fear. For you and I are not in control. And there's nowhere to run. There's nowhere to hide from that which threatens when you live in the company of the Son. Indeed, not even a monastic sanctuary solves this problem. For even there, even especially there, is the third of my enemies, devil, world. These are the first two. But even there, even in that monastic sanctuary, there is the third of my enemies, perhaps the most fearful of my enemies, myself. Empty, purposeless is the impulse to hide. To no monastery, then, does Jesus send his own. Rather, out and away does he send them, saying, it's time to go. So the point I would suggest is this. With the given reality of the now, in the absence, that is, of the not yet, a not yet when the power of him who has been vanquished will finally be taken away in every way, till then, till the advent of the not yet, then, you and I have more than a few good reasons to know fear. That's point one. But you and I also have every glorious reason to know great, that is to say, exercising mastery even over our fear, this kind of great joy. That's a necessary point two. Great and surpassing joy, do we know? For true to his word is Christ the victor. He is risen. Risen, declares the angel, just as he said. That his victory might be our victory, even now, even at this very altar from which we are all given to receive of him, as all God's faithful seek to know him and to serve him, as they await also the glorious and final reality of the not yet. True to his word, then, is he, even in the midst of that which threatens, even in the midst of that which at every turn really seems so out of control. For just as Jesus came to those two on Easter morning to address the fear that remained for them, in the same way, he goes ahead, promising also in the end to come to you and to me too, that in the end, every last reason for fearing or for sorrowing on our part might also then finally now be no more. You will be hated by all because of my name, declares the same Jesus. Even so, fear not. For whoever endures for my sake to the end will be saved. What I say to you then, speak, declares he. What you hear, proclaim, declares he. For everyone who acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. Indeed, only the one who loses his life for my sake in the end will find it, declares he. So the women, it would seem, on that first Easter morning, had their own reasons for fearing. With little more than the report of the angel in hand, they did not yet understand. St. Matthew and his contemporaries, decades later, had their own reasons for fearing. You and I, millennia later, have, it seems, also our own reasons for fearing. It's okay. It's going to be okay. For God's solution is ever and always the same. He came, he comes, he will come again. Him we shall see. So fear not, at least not too much. For I am with you always, declares he, even unto the end of the age. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.